What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Elevate Experience,
the podcast about overcoming struggles and adversity and how that relates to addiction, recovery, and health. I am your host and the CEO of Elevate Addiction Services, Angie Manson.
And I'm Dallas Terrell, co-host and life intervention counselor at Elevate. Thank you so much for joining us, and let's jump right in. All right, guys, welcome back to the Elevate Podcast. Happy, what's today? Today is
Thursday.
Thursday. Happy Thursday. We have a wonderful guest on the show today, coming all the way from England, Miss Rebecca Sanuga. Is that how I say that?
That is.
Oh, I nailed it. Wow, okay, cool. Rebecca, how are you? Welcome to the show. So good to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, and I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Pretty good. It's a little earlier over here than it is at your neck of the woods.
Yeah, it's dark here now where I am.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Jeez. I know.
Is the weather winter like it is here?
Yeah, it's winter here, but we don't have good winters. We don't have good winters with loads of snow and stuff. It's literally just rain and frost. So yeah, it's a bit cold, a bit rainy, but it's cool. I've had worse winters.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like California winters. I mean, that's what we get here. We don't get the snow and we get rain and we get frost. Yeah, that's it.
For example, yesterday it was where I was at, it was 66 degrees and sunny, which is like, I think that's what we pay for out here. You know, it's just like such good weather.
Yeah. So obviously your degrees are in Fahrenheit, aren't they? So we do ours in Celsius. I don't know what that is in Celsius, but it's probably about 1 degree Celsius at times here, which is obviously very low.
Yeah, one is too low. Whatever that is, one's too low.
Yeah. Sure, however it converts, it's not good.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, Rebecca, we're super excited to kind of get into what you do over there and how you do it. And kind of like we said a little bit off the air, you know, you winning an award. There probably was a reward for that as well, but... yeah, we definitely want to get into that and kind of what you do over there and what that kind of looks like. So I'm not sure if there's a great place to start, but maybe we could start with kind of what you do, you know, as far as work goes and what that kind of entails. If you want to maybe start there for us, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a mindset coach. So that is my main role. I also have another business in the travel industry.
Oh, nice.
My background is in corporate sales. So I come from a leadership background. So for over 11 years, and I am still part of that company in a leadership role. So for over 11 years, I've been doing that. And I was someone who's always been into personal development. I've always been very driven, very hungry, very ambitious. But I was also bang average at everything. So people laugh at me when I say this, but it's so true. So at school, I never really had any talents. I was just getting C's. All my grades were C's. And there was nothing really standing out to me that I really wanted to get stuck into. I did two different degrees. One was more useful than the other for me personally. So one that was fashion, which I did nothing with, just had a massive debt that ended up paying off.
Yeah. And some cool clothes.
Yeah, I have some really cool clothes.
And then my other one was business, which obviously has been a bit more useful now. I was one of them people who just didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I've always been open-minded and always wanted my own business. So in the background, I've always been doing, like I said, personal development, growing, and obviously developing my skills in the corporate world. And then it was in January 2020 when I launched my first online business, which was in the travel industry. Had no experience in travel apart from going on my own vacations, had no experience in social media apart from just posting pictures of nights out and my child at the time, who was literally 2 years old. One of them were posting at 3 o'clock in the morning, no like concept of that's not the best time to post, people, no one see it at that time. So I had no idea what I was doing, basically. And then 2 months into having that business, COVID hit, which obviously is not the best time when you first start a travel business. And also in a brand new like space, obviously online and stuff that I've never done. I was fully out of my comfort zone and fully out of my depth as well, to be honest with you. But I just thought, right, okay. Luckily, I'd already built that mindset over a period of time, so I was never going to quit and give up anyway. But I just thought in my head, the worst thing that could possibly happen is during my travel business is going through a global pandemic, because obviously we can't fly anywhere. So if I get past that, then I'm good. So anyway, what I was seeing around that time was a lot of other entrepreneurs who couldn't work, you know, like aesthetics businesses and other beauty businesses, or anyone basically who had businesses who couldn't work, construction. What I noticed that they were doing was putting themselves out there a lot more on social media. And I even ended up speaking to a few people saying that, wow, you're posting loads. And they're saying, well, as long as I'm staying in the forefront of people's minds, that's what my goal is. And then obviously I know my business will be fine when obviously we open back up and people remember to come back to me. I was like, yeah, fair enough, that's a good idea. So I thought I'll do the same. So then as I started putting myself out there, I then obviously started putting myself out of my comfort zone and started building my confidence talking online. Yeah. And then as the pandemic, so I don't know what it was like where you guys were, but in England, I can't even believe we even thought it. It was, if you stay in your house for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. COVID's gonna go.
Yes, flatten the curve.
Just carry on with our lives. Yeah, 2 years on, we're still here. But anyway,
yeah, we got the same spiel.
Yeah, so it's
everyone
just
was on the same page with that one.
Yeah, so just was like, okay, this is obviously going on longer than what everyone had anticipated, and obviously it started having a knock-on effect on people's mental health. Mm-hmm. And I started noticing people struggling. So then this is, and obviously, sadly, obviously people took their own lives, and it was getting very, very extreme. It was getting very serious. And then even myself, who I would say I'm a strong person with a strong mindset, I was still struggling running my new business, working a demanding job, obviously making challenging decisions around people's jobs and what they were going to be doing over the next few months. And then also trying to potty train a 2-year-old, no childcare, on my own. So it was very, very stressful for me. And I'm always that person who people come to as well for support. So I thought, well, if I'm struggling, God knows what other people are going to be going through who don't have that mindset. And then obviously that's when I noticed that people were struggling. But because I'd found my balls and because I started speaking online about my business, I thought I'll start putting out some stuff about mindset. So that's how it started. So it was early 2020 when I started doing that. And then I started realizing how much it was helping people. I was doing Instagram lives every week. I started even putting myself out there on Facebook as much as possible and started talking more about mindset. And then I thought, hang on, I'm actually pretty good at this and I'm really helping quite a lot of people. And then that's how eventually it ended up evolving, where I actually was approached, like people asking me for coaching, because part of my travel business, I do a lot of coaching as well in regards to that. So I had people who was in like that sort of that industry or the online space of their businesses coming to me for support, but then also other people as well. And that's how I ended up launching my coaching business, essentially. So now what I'm really passionate about, I can help anyone with the mindset. I don't believe there's anyone that I can't help, but where I feel like I add the most value, I'd say, or what I really, really specialize in is people who were in a similar situation to me, in a sense that they might have a burning desire potentially to be more or do more, but they don't necessarily have that confidence or know where to start, or they don't work on the mindset consistently. So they don't really have that. And then it sort of went from, obviously I still do a lot to obviously help people with the mental health and stuff. But then on the other side, I've got this building confidence, self-esteem, and then helping people really get to the point where they can really start putting themselves out there. Because like I said, when I first started putting myself out there on social media, it was really, really scary. But I would not be where I am today if I didn't start doing that. It was like my first ever Instagram live that I did, and I was sat there in the car with my friend. I had been out for the day, and we were driving back, and she had to drive my car home because I was that nervous. I was like, I need to learn what I'm saying on this live. I hear all these little notes. Yeah, it was awful. I was like petrified all the way. She's like, you'll be fine. My first live was terrible. It was awful. And now you can't shut me up. And I don't
know. Yeah,
yeah. So it's funny how things happen. Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Probably. So that our time schedule that we've got for this call might not be, it might, you know, might go off on one. But yeah, I do have a tendency to talk quite a lot. But I never used to be like that. I used to be massively introverted. I used to be really shy. I just used to be really good in obviously my job that I'd done for so long, and then everything else was a bit like, if you looked at me, if you saw me out, or if you looked at my social media, you wouldn't think that, but I really was. But it just goes to show, if you put yourself out of your comfort zone and start, you know, doing the things that do make you a little bit feel a bit uneasy, then obviously that's what's helped me. I think really, even though COVID has been an awful time for a lot of people, for me personally, it's helped me because it's made me realize, one, what my passion is for helping people with their mindset. And then also it's forced me to push myself out of my comfort zone. Because if everyone was still traveling at that time and it was easy for me to run my travel business, I would never have been showing up as much on social media. So I probably would still never have done a live now. So yeah, that's, hope that answers your question. I feel like I went off on a massive tangent then.
Hey, that was a wonderful answer. I feel like we all know what you do now. And I think, I just think it's kind of beautiful. I hear that story a lot of COVID kind of bringing out this new world almost, you know, and I related to you with the mindset thing. I think Angie probably relates too, where we've both been sober from drugs and alcohol for a very long time. But even when all the COVID stuff happened and the world was shutting down and there was panic and fear and running a business and all this stuff going on, even for people like us and like you, who are usually, you know, people come to us with problems and people come to us for support and answers. And we kind of looked at each other. We're like, holy shit, this kind of sucks. Like, this is rough, you know? This is, yeah, like, what do we do?
And nobody had answers. It was like, figure it out. Nobody knew better than we knew, or we knew no better than anybody else. That didn't sound right.
No, it didn't.
But, you know, so it was like all about who could pivot and who could figure it out. And it sounds like really cool, like this helped you find your passion and purpose in life, which up to this point you had been struggling to find.
Yeah, 100%. I still would probably be doing degrees that just don't help me right now, thinking that was the way forward.
Just in college, just, I'm gonna get another degree, we're gonna figure this out.
I know, because I was like, what else do you do? I'll just get another degree. It's like, no, just need to stop doing that.
Yeah, I think the story of like finding out what you really want to do is always just so interesting. And that's kind of what this podcast tends to be a lot about, is like this story of figuring out who you want to be, what you want to do, what makes sense to you as a person, how you can help give back and be of service and be helpful to the world, you know. And everyone's story of figuring out that situation is always so different. But there's a lot of like similarities, you know, where it's like it usually comes from this big challenge. You got a visitor?
Yeah, sorry.
No, you're okay.
A lot.
Hey, everyone's welcome on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. We've seen it all.
We've seen it all. Dogs, kids.
Yeah.
No robberies, but.
Thank God.
So as far as the mindset coaching, Rebecca, how did that like, how did you start to get clients? Was it like people saw you on kind of Instagram and were like, I want that girl to help me? How did that kind of take shape?
So my first few clients were people who approached me. Yeah. Again, it was something that was really new to me. I had full confidence I'd be able to coach someone, because it's something that I was doing in the corporate world anyway. Obviously, a little bit different doing it the way I do it now with my business. But people were approaching me. I also had two free clients as well that I did at first, just because I wanted to make sure that I was doing everything that I wanted to do. And I'll be like, you know, so I knew how it was going to go, kind of thing. So I did a couple of free clients, and then I did the ones who had approached me. And now I'd say most of my clients, again, it's people who ask, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like word of mouth. I put quite a lot of value out on social media, and I tend to get a lot of, not like, I wouldn't say my inbox is bursting with people like, coach me. I'm not saying that. But I'm busy all the time. Do you know what I mean? So it is good. And then what I actually did as well recently, so the back end of last year, back end of 21, I opened it up again and did another couple of free clients. I'll do like a couple of free clients only for like a couple of weeks. People who I know potentially might want the help, and then I'll offer it to them for free, and then obviously they'll decide to stay on. But most people will just come to me and ask for coaching. But yeah, I don't coach anybody, because as much as I am going to I don't want to put it out there when I've not got a date for it yet, but I am going to be doing group coaching at some point this year, where obviously everyone will be welcome, because I'll be able to help a lot more people together in one room. And I've also been asked to do a couple of events and things, which is exciting. But then in terms of one-to-one coaching, I've only got the capacity for so many.
Right.
So it is more of, I don't really like to say it, but it is a little bit like, we need to make sure we're the right fit. So not everyone who approaches them for coaching will get the coaching. Because I need to protect my own space as well, in terms of they need to be, what I always ask my coaching clients to be is ready to take action, because at the end of the day, there's no point in getting a coach if you're not gonna
because
you'd be surprised how many people actually do, you know, invest in a coach and then they don't show up for themselves.
Yeah.
It ends up being a waste of money. And then it's not that good for me, because I really want to see people's transformation. So that's one. The other one's coachable and the other one's committed. So they all sort of link together. But if someone's a bit like, I don't know, then I'm like, I don't know if you can do it right now. Right now might not be the time. Just because of how much, like, obviously you probably know, like, from speaking to coaches and stuff before, but we put a lot of effort into every single person. I think about my clients all the time. Mm-hmm. So I want them to get the best results from what we're doing. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something we go through all the time. You know, not everybody that comes to rehab really wants to get better. And so there's the ones that are really invested and want to do it, and they're great to work with.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's the ones that you're just pulling and dragging and just trying to hope that at some point the light bulb comes on and they actually really want the help we're trying to give them.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you just can't give more than they're given. You know, they got to at least meet you halfway.
Yeah, definitely. I've learned that now, because at first I feel like there was the odd person who I was helping and I did want it more than them. And it just ends up being very draining for the coach as well, as I'm sure it's the same for you guys as well. Long way again of answering that question.
It was one of my kind of questions for you too, is like, just like Angie said, it's one of the hardest things is to coach somebody that doesn't want to be coached. And then there's the financial piece of like, hey, this is something you paid for. Like, why aren't you trying? And why do I care more than you? And, you know, I would say I've learned the most from trying to help people that don't want help. You know, there's a lot to really learn from that. And, you know, we're in a different position where, you know, these clients that we have are stuck with us for 60, 70 days, you know? And so it's kind of like, all right, well, maybe they'll care tomorrow. Maybe they'll want to try again tomorrow. And there's like this, we can't just get rid of them. You know, we can't just be like, well, this isn't going to work out, because if it doesn't, they're going to die. So it's like this weird situation of, okay, how can I come back again tomorrow with a different perspective? So it's like I'm almost a different coach every day. I'm like, all right. Monday coach didn't work. Let's see, you know, I'm gonna be a little more aggressive Tuesday. We're gonna see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet it's really rewarding though. Like when you get people who do go through it, and obviously the transformation that you get at the other end and the people that you have saved, it must be, even though I can imagine really challenging, it must be also really rewarding as well.
Yeah, correct. And sometimes it doesn't happen till they're like in phase three. They're at the final end of the program. And then all of a sudden they like realize, holy crap, I created all this or something like that. And had we given up prior to that point, they wouldn't have got to that point. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it also takes them, you know, knowing best and then going out and failing and coming back and saying, I guess I didn't know best. Okay, now I'm open to hearing what you have to say. So there's so many different points where somebody can get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think an interesting thing too, like just kind of, you know, the differences and maybe, you know, we do some coaching. You know, I would imagine coaching for someone getting sober is just very vague and broad. You know, like people come in wanting to get sober and everything's on the table. You know, it's not like there's no real like specific one way to get somebody sober, because everyone's so different, you know. But with what you're doing, it's very specific. It's like to even be in a place where you want to work on your mindset is like a real like overachiever like feat. Like to recognize that your mindset is weak or needs some help in certain areas takes like really high awareness. And
yeah,
then to seek somebody out, that's, I would imagine the people that you're working with are like, they really want to participate, I would almost imagine. Is that true for you?
Yeah, I'd say with a lot of people, because like I said, because I put out so much like positive content and mindset content, I do get quite a lot of interaction. So it's just like when people are replying to polls, or I put something up, I don't know, like a review that I've had or something like that on my stories, and just then people respond to it and say like, oh, like what kind of coaching do you do? And sometimes it'll just be when I'm just speaking to someone just in conversation, because I'm very active on my social media. Like I do try to reply to every single person. I'll do my best to reply to every single comment on my pictures and stuff. And sometimes it could just be a chit chat with someone who I've never met before in my life. Yeah. And then to the subject, and they'll just say, I'm like, oh, how's everything going in your world? And they'll just be like, bleh, and just tell me everything that's not going well in the world. And then that's, sometimes it can turn into it from that as well, because if I see something, someone who I can potentially help, then I will, obviously they'll already know, they know that I'm a mindset coach anyway, so it tends to be like an organic conversation. Then right. We'll have a chat about it, get on a call if they want a call, and then we'll just talk about it then. And obviously we'll go through everything, like what they need help with, and if I could potentially help them or not. So that's how it tends to go, if they don't just go, hey, can I be coached by you?
Yeah.
But I suppose people who follow me are people who they might already be interested in personal development, or they get inspired by posts. I know that some people aren't even interested at all in mindset. So I do agree with that. You need to have some interest in it.
Yeah.
But also people who've just, like some people, like I do coach some people, I've got some clients in mind already who do minimal personal development. It's only the stuff where what I say, do this.
Yeah, yeah. You're their personal development.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So you do get people who are like that as well. But I suppose the biggest thing with them is that they're ready for a change.
Right.
And sometimes I speak to people who are a bit stuck and they don't really know what that's like. Funnily enough, I was speaking to someone recently about it, and she was just saying that I feel really stagnant. I don't feel like I'm moving in my life. I've been in the same spot for years. And sometimes it can just be something that's happened. I don't know, like something from your childhood, which is still in the back of your mind, but you don't realize it's holding you back. Mm-hmm. So that's a part of what I do as well. It's like really tapping into past traumas and things that have impacted people from either childhood or over a decade ago that's impacting them now, and they won't even realize until when we do some of the exercise that we work through. And then sometimes they have breakthroughs just from that, just from being able to link the problems that they're having now to them, and then being able to finally address them and put them to bed.
Would you say that that's a very common denominator, that there's some sort of childhood trauma that's creating the problems that they're having in the present?
I say a lot of the time, lot of the time it does, because it can be anything. It can just be from your upbringing. So sometimes, excuse me, sometimes you'll have, say siblings, and then one sibling is brought differently to the other one, because from one of my clients that springs to mind is, she was saying that she was born first ahead of her two siblings, and then obviously her parents made a few mistakes, if you call them mistakes, and then obviously changed with the others. So it's like she's always already brought up differently, and already has that resentment and anger in certain mm-hmm. situations, and it was impacting her because she felt like she couldn't she felt like she didn't have anyone to speak to. She didn't have a safe space where she could be herself and things like that, because she was afraid of judgment. People who I speak to who was bullied at school, things like that, similar sort of things. And even people who have been through bad relationships or who have suffered with mental health in the past, anything like that, really. It does impact people because even if you don't realise, it will be holding you back. Because ultimately, like my goal really is to help people believe that they can be and do whatever they wish. So
yeah,
they might
awesome.
Know what that is at this moment in time, but I believe that the majority of people are not living up to the full potential, and they're not truly happy because they're just coasting through life. they might not even realize. So part of what I do as well just helps them think a little bit bigger, like this is what you could have. And one of the things that we talk about before we even get into the program is like, what do you want? Like, if I could wave a magic wand and your life could look completely different in 2 years or 5 years, what would you be doing? And sometimes they find it hard to answer that question, but when you really get into it and they start saying all these things, and as well, you get quite a lot of people who have a desire to do something that is service-led, so similar to what you guys are doing, or they might want to help people in another way. And they have all of these ideas of how to put back into the community or their community or a community, but they just haven't got a clue where to start. Mm-hmm. So you do get people who are like that as well, who, and again, without having that conversation and that safe space to really talk about the things that they want to do because they're scared of getting judged or people thinking their ideas are stupid, they're speaking to someone who has got no judgment and who's just helping them believe that and putting a plan in place as well for the ones who need it. So it's quite broad, really, even though I did say I specialize in specific kinds of coaching. I mean, like people, similar to what you said in regards to everyone's different and they've got their own goals and aspirations. Some people just want to be able to walk to, I don't know, like you say store, don't you? Walk to the corner shop, we say in England. Some people just want to walk to the corner shop in no makeup and feel comfortable that they don't have to put a mask on. Other people want to start a business. Other people want to make some other positive change into the world, and they've just not got the confidence or the plan or the mindset to do it. So I can help people with that as well.
Yeah, and that's so awesome. And, you know, I love that I love the internet for bringing that to people. You know, I just think the internet gets a lot of bad attention, but there's some pretty cool things that happen on the internet, you know. And I think being able to broadly help people, you know, I'm assuming that you do most of the coaching through Zoom or, you know, FaceTime or something,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. So either FaceTime or WhatsApp calls. Sometimes I've got clients whose like reception is terrible in terms of their internet connection. So sometimes a WhatsApp call or a FaceTime is better, but mostly on Zoom, just because a lot of my clients are overseas. I do have a lot of clients in the US as an example. So it's just better because it means I can speak to more people. I do a bit in person as well. Like I said, I do events as well. Mostly I would say is over Zoom.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And then another thing you were saying earlier was, like, you said before they get into the program, what program were you referring to? Is this like your mindset coaching program specifically? Is it something that you work for? Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so it's my own program that I've put together for the clients. So it's a 26-week program. So it's around 6 months.
Yeah, I like that.
The reason why I do that is because you can't really change your mindset for the long term in less than that, in my opinion, especially if you have got past traumas that you're addressing.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, because I coach adults. So as you can imagine, say if someone's 35 years old and they've had 35 years of negative programming and I've got to unravel 35 years of programming, I'm not going to be able to do it in one call. I can give all my golden nuggets away in one call, but whether they stick to it and implement it. It's 26 weeks. They have assignments every week that we agree together. And we talk about anything that they want to talk about, essentially. But yeah, it's a weekly call that I do for 26 weeks. That's and if they want to extend it past that, I do have people who will extend it, then they can go on for longer. But I require people to do it for a minimum of 6 months to get the result they want. And they might get a breakthrough in week one, like some people do, but then at the same time, the things that they are needing to work on, it's going to take to get them long-lasting lifetime results and to develop them positive habits for the long run, it's going to take that length of time.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Thank you for answering that. Yeah, I think you know, you also need 6 months to measure what you're doing, you know, where it's like, I don't know. It's a lot like sobriety too, and changing your life. It's not just a thought, you know. It's like every client comes into our office and they're like, "Yeah, we want to get sober." And it's like, great. Now we got all this work to do.
Right. You know? You're already covered now. Good.
You can't just think your way into a different mindset, or you can't just think your way into, you know, sobriety or, you know, positive mental health, whatever it may be. So it's really refreshing to hear that you're taking this longer approach to measure and work and dig in and see what's under there, and then take a look and see what is changing and if it's working, and pivoting and investigating. Like, that's awesome. I'm so glad that you're doing that.
Yeah, and it just takes time. Like you said, when you have so many years of being a certain way, you can't just change who you are overnight. It's got to be consistency and putting in the work over and over. And you're able to be there and hold them accountable for a very long period of time where they can sort of rebuild that foundation. And that's who they are now without regressing back to what they used to be for the last 30-something years they were.
Yeah, 100%. And I even think that sometimes the time of year does it as well. So as you can imagine, coming into, and I don't know if it's the same for you guys as well, but coming into a new year, obviously everyone wants improvements then. So that's when I'm really, really busy, December, January time. But then it's, and obviously that motivation is going to wear off, because obviously motivation doesn't last. It's just a feeling. So you get the new year buzz. Oh yeah, I want to, you know, I'm ready to change my life. And then if you're not holding someone accountable for longer, what about the days when they don't really feel like it? And I suppose it's probably, I don't know, like, that someone springs to my mind again, someone who suffers with a mental health.
Yeah.
So one of the things that they're working on is not drinking alcohol. And it was like, oh, I'm doing dry January. And it's like, okay, what about when the summer comes and the beer gardens open?
Or even February 1st.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm doing dry January, I'm fine. But it's like, well, this person has problems. So it's just, I think you do, for that reason as well, because obviously they might just be at the peak of the motivation at that moment in time. Yeah. It's going to wear off. So the days when they don't really feel like it, they're the important days. They also get WhatsApp support as well. So they can WhatsApp me whenever. So if they are falling off a wagon and need any help, then I can just give them a little pick me up. So it's not like, they've always got that support.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's really good too, the long tenure, because like what we see, there's seasonal triggers. So, you know, they could be totally fine all summer, but then winter hits and depression and different things start to happen. Whereas if you weren't with them that long, you might not see them through all the things that can happen throughout the year due to things like seasons and triggers and just what happens. A lot of depression around the holidays and that sort of thing.
Definitely. Yeah.
So, Rebecca, I had a question for you as far as, I know you kind of started off the show saying that you're big into personal development. I think, you know, Angie and myself definitely are big personal development people, always, you know, working on something, reading something, trying to change something. So what was like the most helpful for you as far as like personal development? Like what got kind of that spark for you? Like what got the ball rolling for you in that world?
So I think for me, because my background is in corporate sales, obviously before I was in a leadership role, I was in sales. So as in like, I was a salesperson. So before I got what I call like my first proper job, I was doing a lot of crap jobs in terms of like the worst selling jobs you can think of. I was door knocking. I was still at my mum's in my bedroom, and I was selling Google to businesses that was completely uncompliant when I look back at it now, like how they had us doing it. I was selling like gas and electric, which isn't the most, you know, most like the thing that I really could see myself doing forever. I just did loads of it. Oh, toilet rolls. I sold very expensive, low quality toilet rolls to businesses, which everyone likes that, but
that sounds difficult
I was cold calling businesses, selling toilet rolls that cost £65 a box, which, as you can imagine, just went down like a sack of straight away. Yeah. And then also getting loads of complaints on the back of it about how terrible the quality was. So, yeah, I had to sell that. So, essentially, for me to get good at my job, I needed to build resilience, which was happening anyway, just naturally, just from being in that industry. But I started off reading sales books first to develop the skills and get better. And then I started just falling in love with reading. The personal development books that really, and I did a podcast on this recently around the books that I say would have changed my life. One of them is The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. I think that one's a great book because he talks a lot about how he suffered with depression. He had like a massive breakdown, lost everything, couldn't even get himself out of bed. And then he started doing this morning routine and now he's obviously super successful, which is amazing. And he's able to help so many other people. The Chimp Paradox as well, by Professor Stephen Peters. So that one really taught me. The first thing that taught me actually, and again, this is something that everyone laughs at, but it just comes down to managing your emotions and just keeping a level head. I used to get really bad rage. I used to be an angry driver and it's embarrassing to say it now. But that stops me getting road rage. But honestly, it was so embarrassing because I used to drive into the city every day for work. And honestly, like the roads were just carnage every day. And I just used to get into work fuming every day. And then anyway, that book taught me that. But it also taught me just how to, like I said, control my emotions in general. And I think that's one of the things that started helping me because I started looking at things a little bit differently. I started to be a bit more optimistic. And then when I was faced with challenging situations and I was just like carrying on and, you know, being able to continue, I thought it was normal, but people were saying, "Whoa, you're so strong. And gosh, I can't believe you're still doing this after that happened." And I'm like, "Oh, I didn't really feel like it was actually that much of a big deal." But that's when I started realizing this was, you're talking like 10 years ago now. And that's when I really started noticing that I had a little bit of a different mindset in comparison to people who I knew at that time around me. And then I suppose from then it's just improved. And I say as well, I read books multiple times. I've not read every single book in the world, even though I would love to eventually one day, but I read a lot of the same stuff over and over till it sinks in. And then another thing as well, which I learn, probably not, which I wish I learned ages ago, but I suppose properly implementing as well. I feel like people get stuck in the enjoying reading and enjoying reading inspirational stuff or enjoying listening to podcasts and enjoying listening to audiobooks, but then they don't actually do the implementation. So again, inspired, and they get you know, like, "Oh, I love this book, it's changed everything," but unless you actually do the things that it's saying. Whereas I feel like after a while I thought, maybe I should actually start implementing these things, and I started taking it more serious in terms of writing notes when I was reading and stuff. And suppose that's how it ended up more. But yeah, in terms of my personal development journey, where it started, it was because for me to be successful in the jobs that I were doing in terms of sales, you have to develop your skills. And at the time, when I was obviously not in the best sales jobs, as you can imagine, I probably wasn't getting the best mentorship and leadership at that time as well. So I had to take it into my own hands essentially and start developing myself.
That's awesome. What a great story. Like I could see how with the sales, it's like, you're like, how do you directly need to get better at sales to make more money and to do better? So it's kind of this like unavoidable thing. Like you're like, I have to confront getting better if I want to make some more money, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Because as well, like sales is a lot more cutthroat as well. You'll just be gone. If you're not making the business money and you're not hitting your targets, you're gone. So you have no option but get better.
And it's
at
like
it.
Directly your fault, you know? It's like just black and white. Like, I'm selling or not.
Yeah, I always say it's either the best job ever, and you're just like, "Oh, commission," and like living what you think at the time is your dream life at that age, or the other side is when you're not hitting your target and you're like, "Oh my god, I'm even gonna have a job next week." It's a bit of a roller coaster. You can be like getting high fives every day one week, and then you're like, you know, like you're thinking, "Oh gosh, I hope they let me come in work next week."
I think that's such a cool takeaway though too, where it's like this objective like situation where like every result that you get is directly because of like the effort that you put in or don't put in. And I think that's like a huge kind of like momentum, like it's a huge shift for a human to experience that like life is a direct result of like what you do or don't do. And if you can kind of like be responsible to that, like life's awesome or sucks. But either way, it's your fault. And what are you going to do about it? You know?
Yeah, it's really interesting that you said that, actually, because I do talk a lot about accountability, but how you just said it then, it probably does link to someone with a similar background to me where, and obviously I know other people can be accountable and stuff, I'm not saying only salespeople, but you're right, because ultimately we create our own destiny. So I think that's probably one of the reasons. I think I've just had a light bulb moment myself. That was probably one of the reasons why people have said, oh gosh, you're so strong, are you this or that? It's because I'm just like, well, everything that's happening to me is sort of my fault, whether it's good or bad.
Right.
So I just sort of problem solve and get out of it and then just move on. So yeah, I've had a little bit of a light bulb there. So thanks for that.
Well, and I think,
you're welcome.
And when I hear that, I also think this is probably how people end up in jobs that like steal their souls, because it's like, I check in at 9, I leave at 5, I take my break, I get paid no matter how good or bad I do, as long as I just show up and get through the day. And it's not until you're in a job, like either if it's sales, that's what your passion is, but where you're really causative over your well-being, your health, your finances, where you can really start to see the difference directly correlated to the work that you're putting in, as opposed to just, you know, punching the clock.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I'm stuck on, and I want to know, what do you do differently about your road rage than you used to do?
What was the solution?
What was the solution? What did you come up with there?
Do you know what? I'm just a lot better at remaining calm and just not reacting. So if I see an idiot, so people haven't changed how they drive.
Oh,
and I
damn.
Think I probably, yeah,
they drive
and I
crazy
think
over there too.
Yeah, I think I've gone a little bit, obviously, as the years have gone on, I've probably improved my driving skills, but everyone's still driving the same. It's still the same things that happen. People are still going to cut you up at lights. People are still going to jib into a parking space before you get there. There's still cyclists driving all over the road in your way when you're in a rush, or learner cars. So it's still all happening, but I suppose I just learned to just think, I can't control the situation. And also I got stung with it in the past as well. So this is actually something that I've spoken about before, where I don't know what happened. Again, driving into the city center of Manchester, driving to work, like, and I ended up going into the back of a van, and it was, I used to blame everyone else apart from me, for me having an accident. And what happened was, there's this bus behind me just waving his arms around, and I had no idea why he was waving his arms around and why he was shouting, or if it was at me or if it was somebody else. And then I would just sort of, then he sort of like went into the lane and started speeding past me. And I just went like, what are you doing? Like, maniac. And the next thing, boom, I went into the back of the car. So I think that as well, the penny dropped then. I thought, you know what? I need to start like making some changes. And around about that time, I can't remember if it was just before or just after, that was when I started learning as well about the importance of not reacting in certain situations. Mm-hmm. So I suppose now I'm just very good at getting in more of a calm state. I'll just breathe, I'll just make sure I'm calming myself down. And if my blood does boil, and I'm learning now in life in general, it's not the best way to respond to a situation anyway. So it's not just on the road, it's any time. The time where I'm still trying to get better is when my daughter's in the car though.
Yeah.
Especially when she's a newborn. And I found myself still getting really, really angry then. But I think it's a bit different then, because obviously they can't see that I've got a newborn in the back of the car. And then they're up my ass, and then potentially going to crash into the back of me, and it really winds me up. But now it's a bit different, because obviously they can like see her blonde curly mop, and it's not as bad. But I suppose that's where I've just learned to calm myself down, basically. And just think, you know what, let them. And I think another thing as well, actually, touching on that, I used to always feel like I had to get the upper hand all the time. And I think this has just come from me, like my childhood as well. And like my experiences from then, that I always felt like I always had to get the upper hand. I always had to have the last say. And I didn't like people thinking that they could take advantage. So if someone did cut me up, I used to think, you're not getting in front of me. And I used to be like trying to get in front of them. And then they'd get in front of me, and then I'd get in front of them. And the amount of times I've had that sort of thing happen, or I've ended up going down a lane that I wasn't supposed to go, and I'm just to get in front of them just to make a point, was just not good. So yeah.
Oh, that is awesome.
Thankfully, I've gone past that now, and I'm way more developed and less embarrassing than that.
Well, kids will force you into that too, because you're like, wait, I'm setting an example here. How do I want to set this example?
Yeah, that's another thing as well. She can see me, but I still sometimes struggle, like with Hallie, like sometimes. Or, you know, when kids are mean to her and I'm like, oh my God, I could just kick you right now. You got to stay calm.
That's so funny. I think that whole story reminded me, we have a mutual friend, TJ Woodward, and he always says this, like, this quote or this, like, situation where he always says, you're only in a power struggle when you're in a power struggle. And it's, like, very, like, black and white. And that situation of driving, of, like, getting the upper hand, it's, like, we're only struggling with a power struggle when we're struggling to have the power, you know? And it's just kind of this, like, statement that runs through my head sometimes of, like, what am I doing to, like, be in charge or get the last laugh or be better than you? It's like I almost create it sometimes, you know? And that verbiage helps me kind of see it, like, objectively. Like, dude, I'm doing this to myself. I'm on this guy's ass to piss him off, and I'm, like, wondering why I'm upset, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's just letting it go now as well. Like, I don't try to get the upper hand now. I don't really care. If they feel like if they can drive to wherever they're going to and feel like they've got the upper hand, I don't really care, to be honest with you. Yeah. I'm beyond that now. But, yeah, that's what it was. It was just wanting to get that one over on someone who you feel like is deserved
it. Get the last laugh, yeah.
Yeah, or you're, like, praying and, like, please get caught by the police or something. And it's like, you know, but now it's just like, yeah, crack on, do whatever you're doing.
Oh, man. So I guess, Rebecca, I really wanted to know kind of the story behind that post on your Instagram where you got that award. Like, what was that whole situation about, and what was the award for?
Yeah, absolutely. So part of the travel industry that I'm a part of, it's two separate businesses. So one is obviously the travel agency business where you do the bookings and all of that. The other side is a marketing side. So I do quite a lot of, because obviously I've got the background in coaching and training, it's what I love doing. Yeah. I get asked quite a lot to do training calls around mindset or any sort of value. And I got the award for top trainer. And I was like, wow, that was a surprise. Because I just didn't have a clue that I just didn't even think anything of it. So yeah, I got nominated for an award and won it. So yeah, it's pretty good.
Wow, there we go.
It was nice because obviously I do that just to help them. I don't do that to benefit myself in any way. And it's just nice the fact that people are recognizing it and thought, actually, yeah, she does add value. I'm not just chatting crap on Zoom and then hoping for the best. They're actually taking value from it, which is pretty good. Cause sometimes I get off and I think, I hope they actually took something from that. But yeah, they obviously are, so it's pretty good.
Yeah, well, what a huge kind of like shout out for you, you know, to know that like the training and the coaching and the like leading people like is definitely like a viable thing for you. It's nice to get that feedback sometimes, you know, like how could you really know if you're helping anybody if no one's like, hey, this has been really helpful, you know?
Yeah, so, definitely. And it's opened up other doors as well. So now I've been asked to do a few other things. I'm speaking at an event next week, which is more local ones. And someone actually asked me, I can't even remember what they said now, which is really, really bad, but someone actually messaged me on Instagram asking to go somewhere in the US to talk, to do a keynote. And I thought, yeah, sure, I will. Not got any details. Have no idea when it's going to be or anything. But I think it's just nice the fact that, you know, that people actually want me to do it. And it's a change as well, because obviously in the last couple of years, and most of us have been, you know, in like lockdown or whatever, and like everything's been on Zoom pretty much. It's nice just to actually get out and actually see some real humans.
Yeah, living's fun. Yeah,
interaction is nice.
Yeah.
Wow. Some, yeah.
So give us, or if you don't mind, some great mindset. Like, what's the number one great piece of advice you'd like to give somebody who comes to you?
It's a tough one.
I know.
I'm sure there's a lot.
That is one piece of advice.
Or one thing they can do to change their mindset. What's exercise you do with somebody?
Okay, this is a really easy one then, actually. I suppose the simple thing is just to build consistency in terms of implementing some sort of personal development every day. So 10 minutes a day is all someone needs, if they did it consistently every single day, to completely transform the whole outlook and how they look at things. Yes, there might be other elements that they might, you know, want to improve and stuff, and that's where coaches come in, and that's where people, you know, will spend more time than 10 minutes. But as a bare minimum, it's just getting used to that, because some people, like, obviously don't do any sort of personal development, but for me it's like putting my knickers on in the morning, or brushing my teeth, or brushing my hair. And if I don't read something or listen to something positive every single day, I feel like when I've been hammering the gym for 6 months and then not gone for a month, and you feel terrible. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you get, it's like having a day off at the gym, you just feel dead sluggish and awful. Or you know, when you're on a diet and then you're eating a massive takeaway and you feel grim straight after, it's a bit like that feeling. So it's just getting used to the feeling of actually putting your brain in a growth mindset. Just adopting a growth mindset, essentially, just trying to get better and better. But you're only going to start it by doing that first 10 minutes. And if someone does 10 minutes of personal development every day for, say, for example, 6 to 12 months, then it's going to start unlocking other things, and they're going to start thinking, oh, actually, I can be more or do more. And some people are quite happy with the life as they are, and that's absolutely fine. But, you know, it's looking at things in a different way, you know, overcoming challenging situations easier than what they were before. Because that's another thing, when people aren't at least working on the personal development consistently every day, and then something happens to them in their life and knocks them off track. Obviously, it's the people who aren't working on the mindset are the ones who struggle the most. And then that's when it can be, I've not done this because this has happened, and it's the blame game. And, you know, and I feel like that's probably the main thing. If I was to say to anyone who's listening to this, who doesn't do any personal development, it's literally just do 10 minutes a day. You can do it on YouTube for free, or read a book. There's personal development books in libraries that you can pick up and read. So yeah, that's what I would say.
That's a pretty great answer. I felt like stressed when she asked you that question. I was like, damn, that's a
you gotta pick one.
Like, oh man, like, you know, yeah. Kind of like, oh man, the whole world's listening. What am I gonna say right now? You know, I was like, damn. But a great answer. Like, dude, spend 10 minutes like with some good input and see what happens.
Yeah.
The consistency is huge.
Yeah, because it's developing your confidence anyway, in terms of doing something consistently that isn't actually that hard to do. So it's building your confidence in that sense, then you can start doing other things consistently. But then also, majority of people in the world don't have the best environment. Like, you'll have family and friends who love you dearly, of course, but they don't always say the right things and fill your head with the right stuff unintentionally, because they might not have a growth mindset. Yeah. My parents have not a growth mindset. My parents aren't entrepreneurial at all. Yes, I got loads of love growing up, but at the same time, I even have conversations with them now, and I'm just like, you just blow my mind because you're completely different to me. But it's true. So like, you'll have people around you who are, you know, negative and whinging, and you don't realize how much of an impact it's having on you. Whereas if you counteract that with just a little bit of personal development, and then when you're starting being positive, you start radiating that more, and people start doing it to you. Like, I really rarely get people being negative around me, because obviously I'm
up with it.
Yeah, but of course I'm supportive to people if they need me, but people aren't negative around me because they just know it's going to fall on deaf ears. I just don't listen to it, because it's protecting my energy. And that's what I try to get people to do who I coach as well. Obviously not everyone, depends on what they need, but sometimes I'm trying to get people to respect themselves that much, mainly the people who lack self-worth, self-esteem. It's like, value your energy. Like, you control who's around you control what you put in your ears, you control what you read. You know, if you're going to be sitting there watching the news all night and depressing yourself, or listening to your, I don't know, mother-in-law and listening to her about how you should run your life when she's never ever walked the shoes that you're in or whatever. I don't know if I've said that right, but you know what I'm saying. But yeah, I suppose it's for that as well, because you don't realize everything that's having that negative effect on mindset. And it's, I suppose, like, yeah, it's ideally, I would love everyone to really step into who they really could be and just see more for themselves. But at the same time, as a minimum, it's like, I want people to just go through life and not feel the setbacks that they're having now, and just know that they can overcome things and just be happy.
Yeah, and I think you hit it on the head, and like what we've gone through in the last couple of years, it's like not nobody, but the amount of just watching the news 24/7 and being told, you know, just nothing but negative things, I think has really harmed, you know, the mental health of the majority of people who are relying on that for information on how they should be feeling. And a big part of that, like one of the easiest things you can do is just turn it off. Like, don't listen to that and fill all that time with maybe just positive things, personal growth. Watch something funny, like anything that is in a higher vibration than all the negativity that you could easily just get sucked into. And so, you know, what's the point of doing anything? Look, we're all going to die. Who cares? You know, so it's like, it's an interesting time where positive mindset is so empowering. Like you put in your thing, as opposed to just succumbing to all the worst things that could be happening.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow, that was heavy. That was, I like that though. You know, I think people need those reminders.
Yeah. And it could be that easy. It's just turn off the thing or set healthy boundaries, or, you know, there's so many things you can do.
Yeah.
100%. It just makes people just feel, because they could still have a bazillion other things going on, you know, and it obviously that's not going to change everything for some people, but it's just identifying what deserves to be in your energy and what doesn't. I won't allow bad vibes in my energy. It just doesn't happen, because that's when my brain feels like it's going to mush, and that's when I feel like I need to pick up something positive and counteract it as soon as possible. But I suppose it does come down to like what I coach on as well, like I said, the self-belief and the self-worth. Some people have no or lack of self-esteem as well. Some people have no self-esteem. Some people have been in awful relationships, as an example, and been treated really poorly. They've been called every name under the sun to the point that they believe them. And now it's trying to get them to actually understand that they're allowing people within to come into their space. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying it's easy to get out of them situations at all, before anyone who's listening to this like starts getting the back up, you know, but it's just at the same time, we allow people in our energy. And I suppose when you start working yourself consistently, on a daily basis, you start identifying, you know what, I don't want this neggy person in my thing, or you'll learn how to channel it out, as opposed to consuming everything and getting involved in them conversations.
Yeah, I think that's huge. You know, like, you know, I think a lot of the things we kind of are all saying, or maybe one of the main through lines of this whole episode, has just been kind of like, the responsibility is yours, you know, and a lot of people just need a kind of a gentle reminder. It's a lot easier to blame somebody else than to be like, dude, how is this my fault? How is this my creation? What did I do to create this situation? Like, why is the TV still on? Why am I still watching the COVID death counter? Like, there's a lot of things that we do, and it's almost a little bit more difficult to see. It's easier to blame the TV or to blame somebody else, or your parents, or your boss, or that's just easy, you know? What we're saying is, how can you take a look at you, you know, and the responsibility of all that will just lead to kind of the results you're talking about and we're talking about. And I kind of like that message, you know, of like, if we were to wrap this episode up and put a bow on it, it's like, what's your part, you know, like, how can you play your role in having the life that you want?
And sometimes I think it just requires working with somebody else, because we have blind spots. Obviously, if we knew what our problem was, it wouldn't be our problem. Yeah. And so a lot of times it just needs somebody from an exterior position to kind of look at, let's go over everything and help you like locate what it is that you're doing that is not helping you. And that's what you're there for.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like, as well, I know people are in different situations in terms of, you know, the financial situation and stuff, but even when I've been, like, obviously, like, not recently, but in the past, even when I've been skin and had no money, I've always had self-development as my biggest outgoing. Mm-hmm. I'm always investing in courses and things. Now my three biggest outgoings are personal development, travel, and my daughter. They're my biggest outgoings. I genuinely spend more on personal development than my daughter's school fees, which is quite a lot. So yeah, that's what I do see the value in personal development. But at the same time, if some people aren't in that school, they don't feel like they're ready to invest. Not everyone is ready to invest in personal development or invest in a coach or invest in courses. There's so much free stuff out there that you can watch or read. And like I said, libraries, that's a starting point. Then when you get that bug and that hunger and you think, actually, I can do more, and you start believing yourself more, then you might think, right, okay, I'm going to invest in this course. I'm going to do this. And yeah.
Well, and a lot of times people need that financial investment in order for them to realize I need to invest in this because I just spent this money. So although there is a ton of free resources, sometimes it's better to just take the plunge and spend the money because now you're going to get the most out of it.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. Yeah.
No, I think that's huge. And I think that's a great segue too into, like, for our audience, Rebecca, like, where could they find you on Instagram if they want to connect, if they want to see some of your free content and then maybe reach out to in the future? Like, I know you mentioned that you did a podcast. Like, where can our audience find you besides Manchester?
Yeah, absolutely.
If they're not willing to go there, you know.
Yeah. My Instagram handle is at Rebecca Shanuga, so it's RebeccaSonuga. I'm also on Facebook as well, but if people aren't on social media and they're listening to this, I'm on email info@rebeccashanuga.com, so info@RebeccaSonuga.com. And then my podcast is called It Starts With Heart. Nice. It's on Spotify, it's on Apple Podcasts, pretty much anywhere, but it's also in the bio in my Facebook and my Instagram page. But people can email me or whatever, and I can always send it to them if they're not on social media.
Awesome. And we'll put all that in the show notes if someone wasn't able to write that down fast enough. Yeah. You may speak actually faster than me, which is amazing.
I actually do. I do talk fast. I talk a lot and fast. So, yeah.
Hey, they say that speaking fast is a sign of a high IQ.
Ooh,
ladies.
I'll
so
take
don't worry
it.
About it.
All day.
Yeah, take that one.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, though, with my average grades at school, but I've not done an IQ test for a while, so we'll see.
Maybe I should have just said just general intelligence. Maybe not school intelligence, but
okay,
life intelligence.
You know? Life intelligence, definitely.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thanks, Del.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Hey, I bring the positive vibes, you know?
Love it.
Oh, man. Well, Rebecca, I think this has been super helpful, and it's just been refreshing, and it's been nice to talk to you. And I think, you know, our audience could definitely take a lot from the topics, the things that have been addressed. And I really hope they go out there and find you on Instagram and listen to your content. And this has been super fun. I really appreciate you hopping on with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really loved it.
All right, guys, that's our show for today. We hope you found some value from listening. And if you did, please share with someone you know or love. You can find us on social media. We are at Elevate Addiction Services.
And if you or a loved one are struggling with addiction, please call our toll-free, confidential 24-hour helpline at 833-33-SOBER or visit our website at elevaterehab.org.